I wonder if you have your Bible with you this evening. Could you turn with me, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 64. Again, can I thank your Reverend John Gray very much for the invitation to come and be with you at the Harvest Thanksgiving service and supper. Isaiah chapter 64, the Word of God says, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those as continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 6. May God bless to us the public reading of his own inspired and his infallible word. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer once again and ask the Lord's help upon the preaching of his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, for the lovely gospel hymns that we have been singing together. We thank thee, Lord, for the messages and song. And our Father, we pray as we have read thy precious word, and we come now to hear its truth. O God, speak through thy word, we pray thee. Lord, thy word is a living word. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless your word. Help us, Lord, to preach the word of God, to rightly divide the word of truth. May we know that anointing of the fresh oil of the Spirit of God. Lord, touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar, and cleanse me from every sin and from every stain. And help us, Lord, to lift up and magnify the name and the person and the work of thy dear Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That some dear man or woman or young person tonight in our meeting may hear the message of the gospel, may believe on him whom thou hast sent, that they might step out on the promise and get under the blood and be saved for time and for all of God's eternity. So, Lord, bless us now in the closing moments of our meeting, we ask of thee, and grant, Lord, that we may be conscious that God is here and that to bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah has been called by some of the great Bible commentators and scholars the Gospel of Isaiah. Or sometimes they designate Isaiah's prophecy, they call him the evangelical prophet. Because, of course, there is so much in the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the birth and the life and the sufferings and the death, and thank God the resurrection and the glorious coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, in Isaiah 53, we have that beautiful pen picture given by the prophet Isaiah of our Savior's dying love upon the old rugged cross of Calvary. And the Lord reminds us that all we like sheep had gone astray. And we had turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, thank God, we are healed. And I was thinking of those verses in the prophecy of Isaiah. And there are so many verses in this wonderful prophecy that have been used of God. And men and women can say, I remember the preacher preached on that text of Scripture, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. And that was the very word that spoke to my heart. Or someone say, just like Mr. Spurgeon, that wonderful text, look unto me, for I am God, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. I remember I was visiting in a house and there was a dear woman and she had been bedridden. Now there was nothing physically wrong with her, but she had been in terrible depression and different things had happened in her life, and she had taken to bed and she very seldom got out of bed. And I was sitting at the side of her bed and her husband was sitting at the other side, and I began to read the Bible. And then as we were talking together, I quoted a verse of Scripture. And I said, you know, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that wee woman who had taken to her bed, she jumped up and she scared the life out of me and her husband. And she ran away up to the living room and she came down with a beautiful big picture. And she says, look at that. She says, that's the text. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And she said, I was saved through the preaching of that text of Scripture. She says, it was Dr. Alan Kearns led me to the Lord in the Ulster Hall away back in the 1960s. And so there's beautiful verses, wonderful verses, like signposts that point the way and tell us of a Savior. And in Isaiah 64, there's a verse that we often quote. It's verse 6. But you very seldom hear it preached upon. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. It's one of those texts of Scripture. And we often hear that portion, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But I want just in the closing minutes of our meeting to look at that verse of Scripture with you. Because you'll notice as you've read it there, the emphasis on the all. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all, every one of us, we do fade as a leaf. We were singing earlier, life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And I want you to notice, as you read that text of Scripture, that the opening words speak about what we might call man's fallen estate. It says, but we are all, the inclusive all, every one of us, we are all as an unclean thing. The Bible tells it exactly like it is. The Bible is a mirror. It reflects, it shows the condition of men and women spiritually before God. And it tells us, just as we have quoted the text from Isaiah 53, that all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Bible says the wicked are estranged from God, even from their mother's womb. The Bible reminds us that we were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. And the Scripture declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, here's man's fallen estate. And you'll notice that man's fallen estate is one of depravity. He's lost. In the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, Paul talks about men and women who are without Christ. He talks about them being without hope. He talks about them being without God. And that is the sad and the sorry condition of men and women. Job says in Job 14 that man that is born of a woman is a few days and then he is full of trouble. And the scripture reminds us that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And here the prophet Isaiah says we are all as an unclean thing. See in the Old Testament scriptures, as God would teach his people by the tabernacle, later the temple, and by all the sacrifices that were offered to put away sin, to cover sin, to bring man from his lost estate into a right relationship with God, to reconcile man in his enmity and in his sinfulness, fallen, sinful man with a holy and a just God. God taught his people. And under the Old Testament system, in the tabernacle and in the temple, there were certain birds, and there were certain animals, and there were even certain people whom God described as unclean. And that uncleanness rendered them useless in the service of the tabernacle or the temple or the priesthood. And of course the things that are revealed there, they are but pictures and types of a place that is yet to come. And the Bible says about heaven itself, says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, that naught that defileth shall ever enter in. Just as, for instance, a man who had leprosy was described as being unclean. He couldn't perform the service of a priest in the tabernacle. So the Bible reminds us that we have a worse disease than leprosy. It is the disease of sin. And we're all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. And because of our sins, we are classed as unclean before a holy God. And we need to be reconciled to God. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God by the blood of his cross. But by nature, man is in a fallen estate. He is in a state of depravity before God. Our first parents in the Garden of Eden, with every opportunity and everything going for them and in a perfect environment, yet they sinned and they ate of the forbidden fruit and they were guilty of disobedience and rebellion against God and his word. And before we run and are very quick to judge Adam, just remember that if you and I had been there, we would have done exactly the same. The Bible says we were in his loins, and he is the federal head of the human race. And when he sinned, he plunged the whole human race that was to come into a state of sin and misery. So Isaiah takes up that theme. He says we are all as an unclean thing. But then I want you to notice the next part of the verse. It says, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And Isaiah moves from man's fallen estate, which is an estate of depravity, and he moves now and he speaks about man's finest efforts. He says, all our righteousnesses. And as he describes them, he says they are as filthy rags. So we can say man's finest efforts are vanity. Now perhaps
We could understand it better if we could say here, well, all our sins are as filthy rags. All the lies, all the cheating, all the stealing, all the bloodshed, all the wickedness, all the corruption, all the immorality of this world. If we were to, if the prophet had said here, all our sins are like filthy rags, we would say, amen, Isaiah, you're so right. But Isaiah says, all our righteousnesses, that's our good works, that's our good deeds. And some of these things we are so proud of. And we meet people all the time and they say, you know, I'm a good citizen. I've never done anybody any harm. I belong to such and such a church, and I give to this charity and that charity and the other charity, and I try to be a good neighbor, and I try to help my fellow man, and all these things are good, and they're wonderful. But Isaiah says at the end of the day, as far as salvation is concerned, they're like filthy rags. They don't make the grade. Because the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, as the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. See, beloved, tonight there will never be a man or woman who will ascend, as it were, to the very gates of glory and go through the pearl-hung gates of glory and see the jasper walls and walk down the golden street of heaven and proclaim, I am here because of my good deeds. Men or women, boys or girls, who go to heaven are there because of the grace of God. And because of salvation purchased for them on Calvary's middle cross through our Lord and Savior Jesus. It is the gift of God. It's not of works. It's not of our baptism. It's not of our church attendance. It's not of our confirmation. It's not of our singing in the choir or our sitting and partaking of the bread and the wine, the emblems that represent the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of our being a member or anything else. Preacher, pastor, or minister, or bishop, or archbishop, or priest, or whatever. Salvation, all our righteousnesses. The prophet says, they're as filthy rags. That's why old Newton penned the words and he said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. And thank God tonight for the amazing grace of God that reaches down to man in his fallen estate. Thank God for the grace of God that reaches down to man. And even despite man's finest efforts, when man realizes, I am a sinner, and all my good deeds, and my good works, and my religious ceremonies, they don't cut it as far as God is concerned. And when man then throws himself completely and entirely upon the mercy of God, then, thank God, there is salvation and there is pardon freely offered those who will come. Jonah learned in the fish's belly that salvation was of the Lord. And then I want you to notice another thing from this verse. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And then the prophet says, and we all do fade as a leaf. You see, the prophet moves now from man's fallen estate, one of depravity, and man's finest efforts, which are vanity. And he says, here's man's feeble expectancy. And you can write over it, brevity. We all do fade as a leaf. That's the way life is. That's the way life is. I was at the doctor's the other day, and he decided to give me the flu jab. And of course, if it's free, being a free Presbyterian, I would take it. He says, I've got another one here. I says, what's that for? Oh, he says, it's for some strain of pneumonia. Do you want that? I says, is this one of those buy one, get one free offers? He says, no, just roll up your sleeve. So I got one on each arm. But we would be fools to think we're young or we stay young or we have youth and all the rest of it. Time is gliding swiftly by. And the weeks and the months and the years go by. And the Bible says we all do fade as a leaf. Just as in the springtime there's the bud, and in the summer there's a leaf, and then in the autumn it begins to wither, and then in the winter it's dead. That's just in a natural cycle. Just a picture of man. We all do fade as a leaf. James says, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then it vanisheth away. The Bible says, what is your life? It is like water that is spilt upon the ground and cannot be gathered up again. The Word of God says, your life is like a dream in the night, and how the doctors and the scientists tell us just how quick a dream is. It's like a weaver's shuttle. I remember sitting in the tech in Belfast, down there at what they call the Black Man, being in the class along with the weavers and those who were working with cloth, because I served my time as a sewing machine mechanic, believe it or not, many, many years ago. And we had to go learn about sewing machines, learn about threads, learn about the cloth, learn about the electric motors, all the rest. But I remember sitting there, and they put on one of the big looms, and there was the shuttle. And the shuttle flew from one side to the other. You can hardly see it. It moved so fast. And God says, your life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I used to visit, when I was a minister in Crossgar, the late Hugh James Adams. He was a real character. Been a veteran of the Battle of the Somme. He lived until he was in his 102nd year. But every time I was in his home, in his presence, and we were talking about the things of God, he'd say, Fred, son, it's went in like a flash. Here I am. I'm in my 100th year. And it's just went past so quickly. Just like a flash. Bible says we spend our days as a tale that is told. Maybe you go up to bed to put the children to bed, or others like myself, you're looking after your wee grandchildren and you read them a bedtime story, and it has its start, its wee introduction, the body of the story, and then it comes to a conclusion. That's the way your life is and my life is. So swift. Goes so quickly past. And that's why the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. The last phrase in this text of Scripture says, our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now the prophet Isaiah speaks about man's fearful eternity. He says, because of sin, because of our iniquities, just like the wind would take a leaf away, it carries us away, it takes us away. And what an awful thing for a man or woman to come to the end of life's journey, never to have known the Lord Jesus Christ and taken Him as their own and personal Savior. The story was told about a great atheist who went about preaching and arguing and debating against religion and against God and against the people of God. And as he lay dying, he was in agony, and his friend said to him, "Hold on, hold on." He said, "Hold on." He said, "I have nothing to hold on to." But thank God, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he could say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." For the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God." Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And you get right across it, severity. What an awful awakening for a precious soul to go out into God's eternity. What an awful abandoning there would be for a poor man or woman. And maybe they sat in meetings just like this. Many harvests they have wasted. Many harvests have come and gone. The Bible says, "I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy." What an awful thing for a man or woman to go through their life. There might be, as far as this world is concerned, he was a good man, she was a good woman. They were upright, they were moral, they were decent, they were respectable, they were hard working, they were good people. But they never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. They were trusting in their good works, and trusting in their good deeds, and trusting in their church and churchianity. But friend, Christianity is not about a religion, about a church. It's a relationship with Christ. And the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He knew the shepherd. He knew the one who would be with him at life's darkest hour. The old gospel hymn says, "When I come to the river at the ending of day, and the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Then the chorus says, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. And I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Sometimes at the harvest time, we turn our attention to that man in the Gospel of Luke, the man we call the rich farmer. The man who said, "I'm going to pull down my barns, I'm going to build greater, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat and drink and be merry." But God said to that man in his prosperity, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Friend, we dare not boast of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. As the old hymn writer says, and we were singing it early, "While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest you should seal your hopeless doom." But friend, be in time. Be in time tonight, and get right with God, and seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight for His own name's sake. Reverend Gray.